Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. I'm sure all of us have been watching the television news and have seen the tragedies that have been going on in our world. A month ago, the hurricane in Louisiana, Mississippi, and also in Texas have created so much damage, and many, many people are suffering as a result of that terrible, terrible hurricane. And a few days ago, in fact, 2 days ago, I also got an email from a friend in Guatemala who just told me the devastation that the country had just experienced, and the villages that were decimated, and the many people that just died. And also a few days ago, we just saw the devastation in Asia, Pakistan and India. An earthquake, estimated 22,000 people dead. And I'm sure the economic devastation to those cities that have been devastated by this earthquake is staggering. Well, these are the storms in life that we just watched on the television programs, but what about the storms in your life? I am sure you are also having storms in your life, some of you, or maybe all of you. And those storms are much more painful than the storms of life that we watched in the television programs. And I'm sure as pastors, some of you who are pastoring congregations and those who plan to pastor congregations, just remember the people that are sitting in the pews who are going through the same experiences, and in fact, some of them much more painful than you can ever imagine. And you have the audacity to tell them, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. That is easier said than done. I'm sure to the people, the Christians in Philippi, in those days, when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, they said he must be out of his mind. I know what is going on in my life. As a Christian, I'm persecuted every day. So is he. Now he tells me to rejoice in the Lord always. It is easier said than done, humanly speaking, though. But to those of us who believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who have been called by grace through faith to become members of his body, it is not just easier said than done, it is already done for us. And that is the good news. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, this morning, I just would like to pretend like St. Paul. And St. Paul is saying to the church, I am saying to the church in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Do not be anxious over nothing, but present everything, all your cares and concerns in prayer to the Lord. In other words, pray like you mean it. Pray like you mean it. Not a laundry list that you just tell the Lord or wish the Lord would do for you, but pray it as it is already accomplished, as the Lord has already done it for you. You know, the reality is, however, he already has done that. He knows what is good for you. And even before you ask, you present your requests in prayer to him, he has already answered the prayer and gives you daily what is good and proper. So pray like you mean it. But the Apostle Paul, I am saying this morning, as you make your prayers and concerns and requests known to God, just keep your eyes focused on him who is the Lord of life. So how can this be? How can you rejoice in the Lord always? And I would say to you, rejoice again. You can rejoice because your eyes are focused on Him who is the Lord of life. You are not just tormented by the trials and temptations of today, but your eyes are focused on His second coming and the life everlasting that you and I would enjoy with all the saints. If this is not reason enough to rejoice, what is? So I say to you, my friends, rejoice in the Lord always. I know this might be a midterm, and it's very difficult or very challenging to tell a bunch of students who are struggling through their term papers to rejoice. But I tell you, after staying awake all night trying to write that term paper, I can just tell you, the end is coming. The end is coming. And that is how St. Paul viewed life. Every trial and temptation gets you closer to the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when I am getting closer and closer to my Lord and Savior and Creator, this is reason enough for me to rejoice. So rejoice in the Lord always. So make your requests known to Him. Pray like you mean it, but also keep your eyes focused on Him, the Lord of life, on His second coming, and on your going to see Him face to face. And then St. Paul and I, this morning, am telling you, finally, brethren and sisters as well, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Well, I'm not telling you that by doing these things, you will see God. That will be foolish. But I'm just telling you, by being who you are, God accomplishes those things through your life. And that's why I say to you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, through Christ who gives us strength, you and I can then become the people of God who we are. So make your requests known to Him. Pray like you mean it. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord of life, Jesus Christ, your Savior, and then know where the power comes from. It comes from Him who have overcome death and has given life to those who were dead. So rejoice in the Lord always. Is there a reason for us to rejoice? Absolutely. Great reason to rejoice. God lives, and you and I are members of His body. So is there a reason to pray? Absolutely, He told us to pray. And He told us to pray knowing that He has already heard our prayers and has accomplished them. He has fulfilled our desires. But we have a reason to look forward to His second coming. And only because of that, you and I can rejoice and leave this room today gladly. I was going to do a word study this morning, and knowing that I'm going to address some scholars and who are studying Hebrew and Greek and all that great thing. But I said, instead of doing a word study in Hebrew and Greek, I thought I'd do a word study in my own native language, in Tigrinya. The word for rejoice in the Tigrinya Bible is called elil. That is the sound that women make at a wedding feast. Instead of the sound of cries, it is a sound of joy. So it says rejoice. When he says rejoice in the Lord always, it says elil bel, elil beli. Say elil. You did it right, but not quite. I could challenge you more, but if the ladies were here, you will exactly know how that sounds like. It is a sound of joy. And to tell someone who is grieving to say Elel would be a contradiction. Even that person cannot do it. But brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I can say Elel today because the Lord of life reigns in our lives. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say to you, rejoice. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.